This is y nada más. A Real Madrid Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? This is Eric Rivera with Y Nada Más, a Real Madrid podcast. And welcome to another episode of the podcast. It actually is not a lot of news going on, I guess, in the sense of football going on, whether, well, Real Madrid club football. Obviously, we're on an international break, so the teams and our players are out there representing their countries. You know, I used to be really addicted to, you know, international football. Obviously, everybody loves it during the World Cup. But for me, I don't know. The European qualifiers always don't really do it for me, especially when there's games like, I don't know, like Gibraltar versus Norway or Portugal versus Azerbaijan or whatever. Like those kind of games, man, I can't get into them, man. And you know, coming from Colombia and growing up in Colombia, I mean, CONMEBOL is always just insane. It's the most insane matchups all the time because it's, you know, Argentina, Brazil, Colombia, Ecuador is strong. Peru can, you know, make a run for it. Chile can do well. Paraguay has been on a down, but they've been good in the past as well. You know, Uruguay. So the matchups are always there. And because of COVID, you know, they decided not to play during this FIFA break. So I haven't really been that interested in watching football, you know. So this is just kind of a podcast, an offshoot podcast, I would say, really to kind of talk about where we are right now in Real Madrid and just talk about other things about the season and just do something different, do something special. So the last time, I think I like to do a lot of times during these breaks, bring people on to do like interviews or just kind of, you know, link up, you know. So in this one, in this episode, the last time I had an international break, we did a podcast with Dr. Jota, or, you know, Dr. Jota, Jota Football and Fun, whatever you guys know him as, helps me with the Real Madrid Hub channel. It's actually a channel that he created as an offshoot for his Dr. Jota channel and Jota Real Madrid channel. So I did an interview with him. That one went really well because he's got a lot of followers as well on YouTube. So on this one, I decided to bring somebody that, you know, has really helped me a lot in the past, you know, few months that I've been working on this podcast and we've been creating this podcast. And it is none other than my good friend Trombach B, I call him because his last name, I cannot pronounce it. And I do not care to try to pronounce it right now and murder it before I accurately learn how to say it. You know, I think he deserves that amount of respect. So Trombach B, he's been writing for me at Y Nada Más. He's been helping me out on Twitter. Obviously, he even contacts me here and there about different opportunities or things that he feels that we can do to grow. So he's out there doing a lot of good stuff. So I brought him on board in a lot of ways to do more stuff for us and kind of be the ambassador per se for Y Nada Más podcast. He's technically our senior writer because he's one of our only writers at the moment, and he's also he's going to help me. I'm trying to get him to help us with more stuff with the website because since we let one of our website guys go because he was busy with other projects. And so he's going to be on the podcast today. We're going to talk to him about, obviously he's out there in India. He's in Calcutta. You know, and it was interesting to me when I started the podcast to learn that there are so many Real Madrid fans in India, that there are La Liga fans, so many La Liga fans in India. I was always, you know, I guess that's why you should never make assumptions, but you're always, you know, I was always under the assumption that, you know, in India they follow, you know, the Premier League a lot more. Due to, you know, obviously the ease of the language, as opposed to La Liga, where everything's in Spanish and things like that. But obviously big teams like Real Madrid and Barcelona are going to attract people from all over the world. So it's really cool to have all you guys that are out there in India listen to me, listen to the podcast. Trombeck has told me there are quite a few listeners in India. The stats that we get from the podcast show us that India is the second largest group of listeners that we have outside of the United States. And I think in a lot of ways, Trombeck has helped me connect with that as much as possible. So that's been great. So I have him today on the podcast. We're going to talk about, you know, the season, the rumors about Haaland and Mbappe and everyone coming over, and just chat a little bit about different things related to Real Madrid in this international break and kind of where we are at the moment with Real Madrid. So without further ado, I'm going to have him on in just 1 second. So stay tuned and we'll be back in 1 second with my good friend Trombeck B from Y Nada Más Podcast here on Y Nada Más Podcast. All right, everybody. I'm joined by my good friend Trombeck B, as I call him. All the way from Calcutta, he is the ambassador for Y Nada Más Podcast all the way in India. He's been the one responsible for getting a lot of you guys over there in India tuned into my podcast, and we appreciate it. The whole team here appreciates it. And so, Trombeck, man, what's going on? How are things?
Yeah, doing good. Thanks for asking. How are you doing?
We're doing good. We're doing good here. It is about 1 o'clock p.m. where we are, and I think in Calcutta it's what, like 10 p.m., 10:30?
Yeah, it's 10:30.
Yeah, there you go. So we're getting it done, man. We're getting it done no matter what. We're figuring out how to get these the time and the schedules perfected.
Yeah.
All right, man. So tell me a little bit about, so obviously, you know, for all of our listeners, you know, Trombeck has been involved with the Y Nada Más podcast almost since the beginning, really. When we got started, he was one of the first guys to jump on board and start helping us with, you know, writing articles and things like that. He's, you know, really active in the community over there, not only on Real Madrid Twitter, but obviously on, I know you're writing articles over there and you're writing over there for a couple of different places, right?
Yeah. I write for the Lazio, which is basically a Lazio based. It is a part of One Football Network, and I write for them.
Okay.
It's good.
Yeah. And then you're also writing for them. You're writing for the Goal.
I'm the chief writer of Y Nada Más.
And he's the chief writer of Y Nada Más. That's right. So one thing we wanted to talk is, you know, I think I don't know if I ever asked you this before, but I wanted to know. So how did you become a Real Madrid fan? And then also besides that, well, we'll get into it a little bit later, but I want to kind of talk about, you know, the fandom of Real Madrid in India, because it was one of the things that surprised me, because I know it's very popular. A lot of times in India, we know it's very popular to follow the Premier League. You know, it's very big to follow the Premier League.
Premier League is popular.
Yeah, exactly. But not so much, you know, well, obviously La Liga because it's, you know, Real Madrid because it's such a big club. But how did you become a Real Madrid fan?
I became a Real Madrid fan when, first of all of here, my friends support Real Madrid. Uh-huh. And I basically became a fan of Real Madrid and Sergio Ramos during the 1948. Uh-huh. That was a huge moment for me.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
It was great.
Nice. So you became, so you're a Sergio Ramos fan.
The fan base here is good.
Yeah. So how did it, how big is it there?
The fan base here is real good.
Yeah. And how did it get big over there?
The Premier League is the most popular here, but their fans always support Barcelona and Real Madrid because Barcelona has Messi and Real always had Cristiano. So there was a rivalry going on.
Yeah.
That was cool, but since Cristiano left, many fans shifted to Juventus. But real fans are real fans.
Gotcha. Nice, nice. Yeah. And then, so I know you're, I know, so who do you support in the Premier League? Do you support anybody in the Premier League?
Yeah, I don't watch the Premier League very much. I love the Serie A, but I like Leicester City, if you
will. Oh, okay. Cool.
Leicester City.
Yeah, the guys, Leicester City obviously had that one crazy season, and then, you know, they've stayed up and they've been, you know, and then a lot of talent came out of Leicester City and went into different obviously Kante, you know, a lot of big players came out of Leicester and ended up going to bigger clubs, and you know, they're doing really well now. So that was, I remember that Cinderella story was amazing for Leicester. So it's cool. I mean, no, but you know, so talking about Real Madrid, man, let me ask you, you know, talking about, you know, I know you're a big fan. I know we're always chatting online with the, you know, the different people that we follow on Twitter.
Yeah.
Tell me, how do you, I would say, give me your quick take on how you feel about this season.
This season, it's been a crazy one. First of all, because of the pandemic.
Yeah.
Because the clubs cannot spend much, just like they did previously. First of all, it's the pandemic and you have to just work on your limited supplies. And it's been a crazy season for each and every, because we couldn't expect Atletico Madrid to go on top of the table because they didn't have such a squad depth in them. Also, we didn't expect that Barcelona, I mean, they started very slowly. I mean, they lost first of the three games. They started very slow, but they coped up. Yeah, they are now above Real Madrid. So that hurts a lot. That's the thing.
Definitely. I mean,
That's my take.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's been an up and down season. And that's what we've talked about on the podcast. As you know, it's been I always use that term. It's been crazy because, and I think it's cliche to say it because you're always crazy, you know, and I always use that, but that's essentially what it's been. Cause I think, I think for a lot of the Zidane haters out there, it kind of turned out where, you know, for a lot of the Zidane haters, it turned out that the team is working out better than expected, given everything we've had, all the problems we've had, you know, issues with injuries, issues obviously with COVID, issues with, you know, the youth. You know, the funny thing is we were going into a season where everything was kind of like, oh, this revolution, you know, we have Hazard now. There's a bunch of youth players, you know, we were, you know, banking on the Asensios and the Vinicius. And then it's funny that all of those guys are underperforming. All of the guys that we thought were going to lead this revolution for Real Madrid are the ones that are underperforming. And then all of a sudden, the guys who are considered quote unquote old, because I'm 38, and so don't say that 36 is old or 35 is old. But, you know, all these guys that are old, supposedly. Look amazing. You know, you're talking about, you know, well, Toni Kroos, I don't put him that old. You know, he's just in his 30s, early 30s. And then you have, you know, Luka Modric obviously is the old guy, quote unquote, at 35. You know, and then you have,
I mean, he's like performing in his prime.
Oh yeah. He's in his prime right now. You have Sergio Ramos, who's still obviously an incredible leader. Benzema is on fire, you know, so you have these guys, this core group that was supposed to be sort of on their way out being the ones that are keeping us alive. So that has been, I think, the story of Real Madrid. Yeah. And in a lot of ways, a lot of the things that Zidane has done has somewhat validated in the end his decisions. You know, I would say maybe not letting, but I mean, obviously, you know, he wanted to keep Borja Mayoral and let Jovic go. And we're seeing that Borja Mayoral is killing it right now in Serie A with Roma. Jovic is not doing as well. So it kind of shows you that we're kind of seeing that he is a pretty good judge of talent when he needs to. You know, because a lot of times I think what we do is we're unfair because we see things from the outside. You know, we see things from the outside. We don't know what's going on in the locker room. Everybody's making speculation of what's going on in the locker room, whether Zidane hates a player or he doesn't like a player, and that's why he's not playing them. So we don't know what's really going on. The only thing I would say about Zidane that I do not like is his obsession with Lucas Vázquez. That's about it. But, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
That's about it. But, I mean.
He just came out of nowhere.
Exactly. It's just like, no matter what, he's always trying to back him up. Like, this guy is the greatest right winger that ever existed, or right back. And as much as I like him, because he's got a Madridista attitude, he's very tough. You know, Lucas Vázquez, he plays his heart out.
Yeah.
I don't see him as a talented player in the sense of being, you know, like a world beater, a difference maker, that I always use that term, you know. He's a guy, he's a squad player. He's a squad player to definitely be one of those guys that you want to have on your team, let's say to play backup, but he's not the guy that we should be relying on. And it seems like Zidane loves to rely on him. But considering what we've had this season, it's okay. Because, I mean, even for me, Rodrigo is huge. He's a great player. I think he's a great talent. More so, I would say more so than Vinicius for me.
We have a big Vinicius.
Yeah.
We've got a big Vinicius and Rodrigo fan base here in India.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't know, man.
He's one of the most loved guys here.
Yeah, but I don't know. Because Rodrigo, for me, is a more complete player. I feel like he's shown more, I think, maturity for his age than Vinicius has when it comes to the game, you know?
Vinicius
is fast. He can cause problems to the defense. But it's almost like some defenders are like, well, just let him go because he's going to screw it up anyway. You know, so it's like that's kind of the sad thing about it.
His finishing is crazy.
Yeah. So what do you think? I mean, so based on those things that, you know, we were talking about, I what do you think about this whole old guard doing what they're doing and Zidane's decisions? Because I know we've gone back and forth sometimes online about, you know, Zidane, and a lot of people were talking about Zidane at the beginning of the season and letting go some of the youth guys that we felt we needed. But then at the end of the day, we're still fighting with some of our older players, and it's the youth guys that are not performing.
Yeah, we are still in this.
Yes, yes.
The old guard is at their prime. Mm-hmm. He's in their prime. I mean, Casemiro is already in his prime. He's 29 years old. Cruz is playing crazy. I just got a news this morning that Cruz is going to retire for the Germany national team, and he's gonna fully focus on the Real Madrid career.
Mm-hmm.
Luka Modric is—he feels like 26.
Exactly.
He pretty feels like 26.
Yeah,
Luka Modric.
Yeah,
just dancing around with the ball with those opponents. He's awesome. He's an awesome guy. Made his 100th, no, not 100th, he made his most appearances with Croatia last night. Yeah, that was a good achievement for him.
That's right, in the game against Cyprus, was it, that they played?
Yeah, I think he didn't watch the game, but I think he made his most appearances for Croatia. Cyprus. Cyprus the game.
So, yeah, no, I mean, that's the old guard is essential. Because I think what happens is, a lot of times, people say, you know, in football, you know, people are old or whatever and all that stuff. And we hear that. But obviously we're starting to see that age. Yeah. That age is definitely, I think, with technology, with medicine, with, you know, conditioning, with science the way it is nowadays, you know, and players being able to take care of their body with diet and nutrition and things like that. We're seeing, you know, and the work rate, you know, we're seeing guys like, you know, obviously like Modric, Cristiano Ronaldo, Ibrahimovic, you know, all these guys. Even if you look at like Sevilla, Jesus Navas is a guy who, you know, who is still playing really well for being a 35-year-old as well. You know, so there's all these guys that have kind of shown, you know, if you put in the hard work, but then you also take care of your body, you're going to be able to play many, many years. I mean, Sergio Ramos is another guy. Obviously, central defenders, I think, get a little bit more time than other players, obviously, like a midfielder or a striker. But Sergio Ramos, to me, like, you look at his pictures and you look at what he posts. I mean, he's an animal when it comes to training.
He's getting his rating ready for Mohamed Salah.
Oh man, I have a meme. I have a meme that I'm going to post about that when we get closer to the game. But yeah, it's funny, you know, because all these guys that supposedly are old, it's really not old. I mean, a lot of times they say, I think, you know, scientifically they say that a lot of athletes get in their physical prime really in their 30s, in their early 30s to mid 30s. So what we're seeing from guys like Cristiano and Modric and all that is that they, yeah, like you were saying, that they're really in their prime. The thing is, teams start look. I think sometimes we jump the gun, like Real Madrid too, sometimes jumps the gun in the sense that they feel like as soon as you hit 30, you know, now it's kind of you can easily become a liability, you know.
We have seen it for Cristiano as well. How Real Madrid sold him.
Yeah,
that was the same thing.
Yeah, it's kind of like, but I think
I mean they doesn't take any chances.
Yeah. And I could say I understand because I support Madrid and I understand the whole idea of the club comes first. But at the same time, you know, there are some players, and I think you would agree, there are some players, I don't want to say you would make exceptions for, but there are some players that you're going to want to fight to keep them because you already know that, sure, they might be getting older, but they're a little bit different than other players in the sense of, not only because Cristiano is a beast in front of goal and he can still play really well, but also because if you see that he's so good at taking care of himself and staying fit, then it's very different to have that type of player than to have somebody like, unfortunately, I hate to say it, but somebody like Hazard. Because Hazard, if you look at Hazard, I think a lot of these things...
Cheeseburger guy.
He's the guy... For me, a lot of things that happen with Hazard is we've heard a lot of these stories about Hazard not being a guy who trains well, about not being a guy who likes to put in work on the training, on the pitch and all these things. And you can get away with that when you're younger. You can get away with just talent when you're young. But as you get older, if you're not keeping your body in shape, it seems like all of those things that he avoided doing when he was younger are starting to, you know, come back and bite him. And I think that's where you kind of see that guys like Cristiano that work so hard, guys like Sergio Ramos, guys like Ibrahimovic, guys like, you know, Modric, that really, you know, are always working hard. When they get older, it pays off because they realize that they can last longer.
Modric is not a physical guy, I think, but he still takes care of himself, not like Hazard, who just goes on to the cheeseburger shop and eats up all the cheeseburgers there. He's not like him.
Where did that come from? Is there a reason people call him, people say that he, does he like cheeseburgers or something?
Yeah.
Did he say that somewhere?
No, it was in Chelsea.
Oh, yeah?
No, it was in Chelsea. In Chelsea, he used to, he had a contract with Jose Mourinho that whenever he would used to play good, the next day his teammates would bring him donuts and cheeseburgers and he used to all of that. But in Chelsea, he was a beast.
Yeah.
In Real Madrid.
But wait, he added, he actually had that in his contract where like he would celebrate with cheeseburgers?
No, that was not a contract. You know Jose Mourinho. He brings anything you can give him the win.
Yeah. So he would say like that was what he would give him if he would win. Oh my god.
So that's where it started. He was the hero of Chelsea.
Of course. No, I mean, I love Hazard and I want to see the best of Hazard come back. You know? I want to see the best of Hazard come back. But it's at this point we're wondering, is that ever going to happen? And you know, the whole cheeseburger thing isn't helping him out, you know? So you know, that whole issue isn't helping, you know. And then what was it? And Burger King in Spain was saying that he was like that he was they said some joke and Real Madrid got mad about it because they were saying, oh, you know, he was like waiting, he wanted to come to our 2-for-1 special or something that we were having. You know, so
yeah, that was fun.
So everyone that kind of stinks that, you know, everyone's trolling him like that, but you know, it is what it is. That's kind of how football can be. It can be rough, you know. Yeah, but I think
ups and downs.
Oh, for sure. But going back to Modric, which you know, and many people that have listened to my show know, is my favorite player. I think it's true. He's not a physical guy. He's a small guy, but that's what makes it so amazing to see him play the way he plays. You know, it's just you'll see him in the midfield almost seem like a bully, where he's bullying other midfielders and other team, other players, and him being a small guy, you know, and he's got that attitude, you know. I guess it's that Croatian, Slavic, you know, I don't care, I'm going to do what I got to do, you know.
Eastern Europe.
Yeah, Eastern European, stealing, you know, he's been, you know, intercepting balls left and right, and then he'll like, I've seen him this season intercept so many passes to make a pass towards like Benzema or somebody else in order to set up to create a chance.
Yeah.
You know, so it's almost like Modric at 35 years old is all over the pitch. You see him all over the pitch, you know? And that's what's amazing. That's what's been amazing from him. You know, regardless, is like then Toni Kroos, the matchup between both of them is, you know, I almost see that Luka Modric is kind of the muscle, and then Toni Kroos is like your sniper. You know, it's just like he's you know, the guy, Modric is the one going out there and getting dirty and kind of being more physical, while Toni Kroos is the one setting up all the plays and making all the shots, you know. So it's pretty amazing that way.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, Toni Kroos is not a fast guy because he's got a body there, and Modric, he just dances around the field. He's intercepts passes. So clearly, I mean, Fede Valverde also got the Modric style of play. Mm-hmm. When he got a massive walk rate, he moves around the pitch. So it's great. I mean, Fede Valverde is the substitute of Modric. I mean, the future substitute of Modric.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. But Real haven't been able to find a substitute for Kroos, because Kroos's passing is out of the world.
Yeah.
He's just an alien.
Yes, for sure. For sure. So talk to me about, you know, with all these things, all the rumors of Haaland and Mbappe and Cristiano and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Give me your opinion, you know, Tramba. Give me your opinion on who do you like? Who do you like to come to Madrid?
For now, I think it's better for Haaland to come to Madrid, because forget about Cristiano. Real Perez won't take Cristiano anymore because he's already 32 years old. And if Cristiano comes back, it would be a disrespect, I mean, for a club like Real Madrid, because it's like if you sell a player first and then you take him back, it's, I mean, Perez won't do that. But I think Haaland is the new guy. Haaland should come to Real Madrid, because the Real Madrid facing the goal scoring problems now. Haaland, he always does a hat trick each game.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he could solve the problem. Mbappe, you think? I do not think that Madrid will be able to pay both Mbappe and Haaland because of the pandemic situation. I think they should go for Haaland.
Yeah.
More than Mbappe.
Yeah.
Mbappe is the guy that he plays in the League One. It's okay. I mean, that's not a bad league. I'm not that telling.
Uh-huh.
But he doesn't perform in big matches, if you have seen.
Mm-hmm.
He rarely performs. I mean, against Barcelona, it was okay. Barcelona is a small team. Mm-hmm. It's okay, Barcelona. Everybody performs against Barcelona. That's not a thing.
Nice. Well done. But yeah, no. And the thing is, really, you would say, yeah, it's true. You would say Mbappe performed against Barcelona in that game, but we're also talking about probably one of the worst Barcelonas we've seen in a while. You know, it's not Barcelona. It's not Pep Guardiola's Barcelona. Yeah. It's not the Barcelona from years ago. You know, we're talking about a Barcelona that got beat 8-2 last Champions League. PSG had already, you know, PSG was already a finalist in last year as well. So them to perform well wasn't that big of a deal. And him doing well there. And I think what happens is, it's funny because at the beginning of the year, everyone was talking about Mbappe, and Haaland was kind of, yes, he was somebody that everyone was thinking of, but he was a little bit more under the radar. But he's kind of exploded this season to showing everyone what he's capable of. And I also think I'm not saying he's better than Mbappe, because people are, you know, some people are saying, oh, you know, is he better? Is he not better? I'm not saying he's better, but because at the same time, you have to look at Mbappe's already achieved a lot of things at just being 22 years old. He's already achieved a lot of things. But the potential in Haaland.
Yeah. Won a World Cup.
Yeah, he won a World Cup. You know, he's won many already, the league on many times. But at the same time, you're looking at Haaland as being this guy who's just all of a sudden scoring goals left and right for a not on a, I honestly rate La Bundesliga a pretty higher, you know, pretty much higher than I would rate Ligue 1, of course, you know. It's not an easy league, but he's also performing in the UCL. He's also performing in the Champions League. He also was scoring goals when he was at Salzburg, so it's not like this is new, you know. And he did it when he was in the Champions League with a Salzburg team that, you know, nobody was really looking at as much. So he's been doing a lot of great things, and he's only, 20-something years old, and he continues to perform. Now, will he be
able... He's not even 20, I think. He's 19.
Yeah, I think he just turned 20.
Don't think he's 20.
Yeah? I don't know. Well...
Yeah, he just turned 20.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're looking at that. It's the potential that he has. It's the attitude that he has. It's the size. For me, it's also the size and the speed. He's just he's a big...
Yeah.
He's like a big, scary, fast guy. So...
Yeah.
You know, and...
I mean, he's got a never say die attitude. He's like Cristiano. Yeah. If you ask me, he's like Cristiano. Cristiano has a never say die attitude. He's got a never say die attitude. Yeah. I mean, if his team underperforms, he gets angry, real angry, just like Cristiano does. Yeah. We saw that earlier. We saw that yesterday, how the referee made a bad decision and Cristiano walked off the pitch. I mean, that kind of attitude is Haaland. Haaland also has that kind of attitude.
Yeah.
Mbappe is like a cool guy, calm, cool guy. Yeah. Playing for PSG, it's easy there at the Ligue 1.
Yeah,
things get tough in La Liga.
Yeah, I think that's the one thing that I kind of wonder is how Mbappe is going to deal with. I mean, that's the other thing. None of these two players, and people can argue with it all they want, but you know the amount of pressure that a player feels when they come to, whether it's a Real Madrid or it's a Barcelona, the pressure from the Spanish press, you know. I know you follow the Spanish press, even though you're working on your Spanish, but I know that you follow the Spanish press and you know how you know how cutthroat they are. I look at a lot of Madridistas on football Twitter in Spain that are speaking Spanish. And listen, man, they will tear people down for little things, you know. So, we see it on El Chiringuito. We see it on Marca and AS. It doesn't matter, like... One little mistake, one little rumor, like everything is a huge issue. So the pressure from the media, when you come to especially a team like Real Madrid or Barcelona, whatever those two teams, even Atletico now, of course, is like all eyes are on you. And really, it remains to be seen. Sure, these guys are really good. These guys are really good players in Ligue 1 or Bundesliga. But how will they handle it when they get to La Liga? Not just the games, but having people questioning you all the time about everything. Not only about football, but sometimes about random stupidity, as much as sometimes I don't like Bale's attitude because of the whole golf thing, I'm like, at the same time, like, he has freedom to go out there and play golf. Like, you don't have to ask him about it all the time. You know, like, there's different things. Yeah. Like, they're always asking him about...
Football is his job.
Yeah.
I think he's for the recess. He does the golf. And they can do anything in the recess.
Yeah.
But he totally focused more on the golf than football.
Yeah, for sure. But I think what happens is there, you know, so all these rumors start, and especially on things like El Chiringuito, where, like, everything is an exclusive and every day there's new news and we don't know if anything's believable. And then something is like, oh yeah, we heard from my friend's mother-in-law who happens to know somebody from Real Madrid that this guy said something in the dressing room and it was a big fight, you know? And then it turns out later that was all lies or it wasn't true or it was misunderstood, but the pressure is always on. Like, I feel like a lot of times, as much as, you know, I know Vinicius is making mistakes and he's made some mistakes, I've seen some improvement in him in the last few games. But definitely, I think you could tell how much the media thing around the situation with Benzema kind of shut him down for a little bit. You know, the pressure there can make or break a player, especially at some place like Real Madrid, where one little comment like that
one thing
is going to cause everybody to talk about it.
One thing I think that the Vinicius, people are pushing Vinicius a bit further. I mean, they're expecting more things from him, but people need to understand that he's just 20 or 21 years old and he can do a lot more.
Yeah.
He's a future kid. He's a wonder kid, I think. I mean, Rodrigo's doing well. I mean, Rodrigo's playing like a good player. I mean, Vinicius, people should give Vinicius some time. I mean, he was a great player at Flamengo. When he doesn't get the time, he's always under media pressure, the social media pressure, if you tell me that's a new thing now, and all that. People just need to give him some time to improve. He's working on his finishing. I saw that news yesterday, I think, that he's working on his finishing. He stays 2 hours later after the main training does off, and he's working. I mean, it's good. And we may see him as a great player in the near future.
No, and I agree. There's been a lot of talk.
I mean, if he stays at Real Madrid.
Yeah. I mean, there's been a lot of talk, obviously. There's been a lot of talk about Vinicius and, you know, how he's been on the team. And, you know, how his teammates see him. You know, there's a lot of talk, you know, we've heard it from El Chiringuito and from other places as well in the Spanish media. And apparently, you know, the other players love him. They think he's got a great work ethic. They think he's a good guy. He's a good kid. And what you said is true. You know, they've said that he is a guy who puts in the work. Like, he is trying to legitimately get better. It's not like he's, you know, taking this criticism that he's getting and just saying, oh, I'm not going to listen to it. He's totally listening to it and putting in the work where he needs to. And I agree with you. It's a lot of pressure. I mean, I think about where I was from 20 at 20 years old. You guys don't want to know where I was 20. I was like on a street corner drinking beers. That's it. You know, that's not Vinicius. You know, Vinicius is a world-class player. I wish I was at Real Madrid at 20 years old, you know, but, you know, it's a lot of pressure for a kid. And obviously it's a double-edged sword, you know, Trambach, because people say, yeah, he's only 20. He's a great player. But at the same time, you're at Real Madrid and you have to know that the pressure comes with the territory. But I don't think that's easy. That's easier to say when you're outside than it is to say when you're the actual guy who's under pressure all the time. And I've actually liked what I've seen from Vinicius. Like, a lot of people gave him, you know, a lot of people gave him shit for that amazing dribble that he did against Atalanta and then he missed. But for me, what's amazing about that play, I kept on watching it over and over and over again. And I was like, at the end of the day, I don't even care that he missed. Maybe I would have cared if he missed, if we were like losing and then you would get angry, you know? But it was almost like he did. You have to commend the fact, and that's what we want from our players, especially we don't have a player like Vinicius right now that is that daring, that risk-taking to do something like that. And it would be a completely different story, you know. You know, the narrative in Spain and in the media would have completely changed had he scored that goal. If he scored that goal, nobody would be making, you know, nobody would be criticizing him, you know. It's almost like...
Nobody will be calling him Vinicius.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, the Vinicius. That's what everyone would be starting calling him, you know, after scoring a goal like that. Because, you know, it would completely change the narrative. But because he did not score it, then they feel like, oh, we can say, you know, oh, there he is again making, you know, being terrible at finishing. But it really isn't, because even you got to think about the talent that it takes to even try to do that and get to that point that he did and then make a mistake there at the end. And that's a lot of pressure. I mean, it's the UCL, it's Atalanta, which is, I mean, people would say,
that was not even a mistake. I mean, he was under pressure and he had to do that. I mean, it was a great dribble and the dribble needs to be appreciated. I mean, that's not a mistake for him. He was under pressure. Three guys were pressuring him and it happens. It happens in football.
For sure. For sure. And the funny thing is, you know, talking about dribbling, if Messi had done that and missed, everybody would say he's a god, you know? even if he missed, you know, he's the GOAT. Oh my God, did you see that play? Yeah, look at that chance was amazing.
Crazy stuff here. Yeah.
But it's also because
Barca fanboys.
Yeah. So I mean, I'm thinking, you know, and if we look at Messi when he was 20 years old, and he was obviously he was scoring, but at the same time, like, this is kind of the stuff that you were just talking about, where it's that potential there that's like, give him time, because, you know, a lot of people are saying, you know, our different friends that are here on football Twitter, guys like the Real Champs and guys like Madridista, Happy Madridista, and all these journals that are you know, writing blogs and stuff. A lot of them were saying, once this guy gets, you know, watch out, because you see that right now. But once he gets his finishing, then everyone's going to be like, wow, you know, this is, you know.
Once he gets his finishing, he's just the same as Mbappe. Because he got this enormous speed, which is very underrated.
Mm-hmm.
Once he gets the finishing ability, he's just Mbappe.
Wow. That's I mean,
I think that.
Yeah, that's your take. I like it. I mean, I do believe it. Because, yes, he's got the pace. He's got the dribbling. I would say his dribbling is better than Mbappe. It's just got to be more controlled. But I would say, he's a very, very good player. But once he gets his finishing down, like, it's kind of like, everybody watch out. But everyone's waiting. And I think what makes him still, for a lot of people, kind of be the joke, or a lot of people like to make jokes about him, is the fact that he hasn't scored those goals yet. But the minute he starts doing it regularly, he's going to become a problem. And if he's going to be with Madrid, then he's going to be that problem. Then everyone's going to start, you know, saying, oh, okay, now, you know, well, the haters are still always going to be the haters. You know that, especially if it's Madrid.
There are many self-hating Madridistas. We have seen on Madrid Twitter.
Yeah, no. But even if Vinicius starts going on a roll and starts, you know, doing amazing and scoring goals, then all of a sudden you're going to still hear people that say he sucks, you know? Not from Madrid, but all the Madrid haters will still say, he's whatever, you know, Mbappe's better, Ansu Fati's better, or Pedri's better, or whatever it is, you know?
Hey, where is Ansu Fati? I haven't seen him for 1 year.
He's injured. He's still injured, man. That's been very...
Oh yeah, he's still injured.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's tough. I mean, that's tough too. I mean, and you never know.
I don't know what to say.
Yeah. But yeah, no, it's funny because well, you know, but it's just funny because that's what the comparisons will start coming. We're gonna start seeing like those comparisons when these guys get, when Messi and Ronaldo are gone, it's going to be interesting to see wherever the fanboys go to. Is there going to be Haaland fanboys? Are there going to be Pedri fanboys? Vinicius fanboys? You know, it's gonna be interesting.
Well, I don't think that Pedri is going to be a goat, something of a goat. I don't think that. Pedri is a good footballer, but I don't think he's something of a goat.
Oh, you just pissed off all the Barcelona fans that think he's the next Messi, man.
Yeah, that's my job.
No, but he's solid. I mean, the one thing I worry about with Barcelona right now is that their attack seems to be more put together than ours. Defensively in midfield, I think we're stronger. But their attack is stronger than ours. But I trust, you know, I trust the midfield. It's like,
yeah, their attack is stronger against teams like Elche, Real Sociedad, but not against teams like PSG, Bayern Munich.
Yeah. Oh, so you're saying they only pick on small teams? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Absolutely. and Real Madrid is like, they doesn't pick on small teams. They pick on big teams.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just the opposite of Barcelona.
Exactly. We lose against the small teams and we win against the big teams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have more worries against Alves, teams like Alves and... I mean, Alaves, it's not Alves. I mean, I mispronounce that a lot. It's Alaves or Elche or Osasuna. I mean, these teams scare us a lot. Then Atalanta, Bayern Munich. I mean, a few days ago, during the UCL draw, Madrid Twitter was like, bring on Bayern Munich. I mean, they were ready. They were confident that we can beat Bayern.
Yeah.
I mean, I was also thinking that we can. Why not? We have shown against what can we do against big teams.
Yeah, no, and you know,
we cannot get Elche
for sure. So here's one thing that I'm going to talk about 1 second, but and this is why, because it ties into everything we're talking about. So my good friend Carlos, who's the graphic designer for for our Instagram, he did a edit.
He's a great guy.
He did an edit for because there's the Real Madrid edit challenge, hashtag RM edit challenge. Where, you know, you could, they gave us some pictures and you had to make like a design. So we just put that design up on our Instagram. Guys, go check it out. If you like it, please share it, or, you know, let Real Madrid know that we put it up there. But it was kind of like what we're talking about, because, the idea came up, you know, I was kind of telling him, what we wanted to do, because we decided to get the, you know, who we feel are like the most important part of Madrid right now. Obviously Benzema in the attack is amazing, and we've done some Benzema stuff, but we wanted to focus, and so we called it the Great Wall of Real Madrid, and which we feel like, you know, is our midfield: Casemiro, Kroos, Luka Modric, and then of course, you know, Sergio Ramos, Varane, and Nacho. Obviously Mendy and Carvajal were in there. You know, I wanted to include them, but we didn't have any pictures there. But so those were kind of those guys that we wanted to really kind of show have been, in a lot of ways, the backbone of Madrid. And I think, and the reason I think a lot of Madridistas are confident, and I'm confident, not saying I'm confident that we could beat a Bayern Munich. I would still be very worried about that game. I would still
we can. Yeah.
Yeah. Can. I would still be very worried about.
1-0. 1-0. The result will be 1-0.
Yeah.
But we can beat him.
Yeah. And the reason why I'm confident is because I'm confident in our midfield. I think that midfield, when they're firing on all cylinders, they've shown already how they can shut down a lot of these big teams. They can shut them down completely, our midfield. And then we have a good back line, whether it's Nacho or it's Sergio Ramos. Varane has been a little bit shaky, but he's still a world-class player. And then, you know.
Yeah, Varane corrected himself.
Yeah.
He's got he played 4 unlucky games for him, but he's now good. He's back to his best.
Yeah, and then, you know, and then we have Mendy, and then, you know, when Carvajal is on, he makes a complete difference. So those guys, when we have those guys, which it seems like we're going to have Carvajal for the Liverpool game, when we have those guys.
Yeah, he's back in training.
Yeah we're going to, I feel like we can go up against, we can go up against anybody. The problem is, sure, I feel like those guys can help us not concede goals. The problem is, who else aside from Karim Benzema is going to be scoring the goals for us? That's the issue. And Casemiro, when he decides to go up and attack, or Sergio Ramos.
That's why I just told that we need Haaland. Because Real Madrid creates a huge, huge chances. They create like 60 or 70 chances in each game, but there's no one to convert those chances. At least we should convert the 1 or 2 of those chances, but it's very rare. I mean, Asensio is like just comes on, barges onto the field in the 70th minute. He's now got that new role and scores a goal and takes all the credit for himself. He looks to be the smart guy then, after barging into the pitch in the 70th minute when all of the players are limping because of the exhaustion, and he takes all the credit. He becomes the goat.
Oh, man, I love your banter. It's so great.
Yeah.
But it's true, man. I think Asensio has crazily underperformed. And I don't like, you know me, like I say to everyone, I don't like to badmouth players. But essentially, for Asensio, he's greatly underperforming, because a lot of people are like, oh, you know, he's still young. He's 25. He's not the young guy anymore that everyone was talking about. You know, I mean, he 25 is still young, but for all the potential that he supposedly had at, you know, he's gotten to 25 and now he's not showing it anymore. Could it have been the injury? Could it have been the confidence level? But whatever, it's still not showing. And right now what we need are goals.
I mean, he's not pushing any farther.
Yeah, exactly.
If you see Rodrigo for the last two games, you know, Rodrigo suffered not a huge injury, but a mediocre one. But that's an injury now. He would be now scared to push further.
Correct.
He pushed further on that Granada game and he got injured. Now I don't think he will push much further, but you never know. He's a young guy and he can do wonders.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. We just need I think we've said it a lot, is our team needs wingers. Our team needs wingers that can score. Because right now we can't just depend only on Karim Benzema to be scoring. And, you know, when Casemiro and Sergio Ramos, like, those guys shouldn't be the ones that have to save us, you know? And they're doing a great job of doing so. That's why
I mean, their job is not to score goals.
Yeah. Their job is to keep us from scoring goals, but they're coming through when we need them.
But Casemiro always barges onto the field and scores the goals. I mean, it's all right. It's not a crime to score a goal for a center defensive midfielder, but it's all right.
Sure. But that just kind of shows you that if for him to be the second best scorer on our team means that there's problems with our attack. And that's the issue, that, you know, he shouldn't be, you know, the second best scorer. If we have Karim as the GOAT of our team right now when it comes to strikers, and he's performing so well, it would be beautiful. For imagine if you combine the 17 something goals that he scored in La Liga, or the 23 that he scored this season so far, to and add on that 10 from Vinicius, 15 from Rodrigo, or 12 from Rodrigo and 10 for Asensio, we'd be so far ahead. But and that's what we need from them, and we're not getting it. You know, that's
we'll win the Champions League then.
Yeah, exactly. I
mean, that's a pretty crazy goal scoring record.
Of course. And that's what we thought we were gonna get from them, and we're not getting it from them, you know? So I think that's kind of where the season is, and hopefully, if we get a Haaland, you know, it's going to be amazing to have him on the pitch. And if we get, you know, I think, you know, if we're able to bring back a Brahim Diaz, if we're able to bring back some of these players that could help us in that regard, you know, I think we'll have more options. But for what was going on right now, I feel everyone's a little bit more confident because of that great wall that we have in the midfield and in the defenders. Right now, people are confident, and that's why I would say I would put them up against anybody. I would put them up against any team, whether it's Bayern or Manchester City or anybody. Are we going to get goals? I don't know. That's going to be the rough part. But are we going to get like scored on, like 7-0? I don't think so. I don't think any team's going to be able to do that, you know? So I'm confident that we can suffer our way through, which is what Real Madrid has been doing this season.
Also, we did the same thing last season also, and we won the La Liga. Mm-hmm. We just won 9 consecutive games, and that was a clutch moment for us. That was a clutch. We just won 9 games, and Setien and the previous Barcelona coach Setien was like, they were not going to win 9 games, I'm telling you. But we won. We showed them what we can do.
Exactly. Yeah, man. So I think there's a lot of confidence, and I think we're going to do well. And I hope, you know, it's going to be very tough. You know, the next few weeks are going to be very tough for all of us Madridistas. You know, there's 10 games to go in La Liga.
Yeah.
It's 15 games total if we make it to the final of the Champions League, which I'm saying 15 games because I think we're going to make it to the final.
It's not a big deal.
You know, I think the good news is if we have Carvajal back for the Liverpool game, I really feel like, I feel like a lot of people are thinking, you know, Liverpool is the same Liverpool we saw from a couple, you know, from 2 seasons ago or from a season ago. This is a Liverpool that's been hit very hard, that is not performing well in the Premier League. They're having a ton of different issues with injuries. They're losing, they've lost a lot of great players. They can't find, they're struggling with goals too. I would face this Liverpool.
I mean, Salah is also on the way out.
Yeah.
Mohamed Salah is also on the way out.
Exactly.
I mean, he demanded a transfer a few weeks ago, but I don't think it's much developing there in Liverpool.
And that's why I say, I think that people were saying, you know, Chelsea or Porto. I would say Liverpool or Porto because Chelsea is kind of an unknown team right now, because with Tuchel, they've been undefeated. They've looked pretty solid. And so we don't know what you would be facing, and they've been able to do, you know, play well. They eliminated Atletico. So, you know, they're sort of a wild card that I would rather not face right now. Like I would rather, I think Liverpool is the easier draw for us rather than people saying that, you know,
But I don't think Porto will make it.
Oh no, I don't think Porto will make it either. I think Porto won't make it. I think Chelsea is more of a threat than people give them credit for. And then obviously I think, you know, Manchester City and Bayern Munich are going to be the rough ones as always, you know?
I just want to see that Man City get thrown out of the Champions League because what they did last time to us, I'm pretty mad of them.
Yeah.
And also because Pep Guardiola is their coach. I mean, I like Man City a lot before Pep Guardiola came. yes, Pep Guardiola, you all know, is a Barcelona coach. He was a Barcelona legend, I think.
Yeah.
That's why I don't like the team anymore.
Yeah, well, you know, the Barcelona rivalry runs deep, you know? But yeah, man. Yeah. So anyway, Trambak, I wanted to thank you for coming on to the show today and helping me out and talking all things Real Madrid. I wanted to thank you again for helping us with writing the articles and being our ambassador over there in Calcutta for the Real Madrid Y Nada Más podcast army that right now is just you over there.
many people here listen to you guys.
Oh, nice. Thank you, man.
Many people here listen to the Y Nada Más podcast.
Yeah, because you're out there waving the flag every day, man.
I mean, as far as I know, 10 people, 10 people, yeah. 10 people are listening regularly to your podcast.
Hey, man.
Because they tell me, because I know that because they are on my friends.
Yeah.
They tell me after the podcast has been released, hey, man, did you listen to the podcast? I'm like, yeah, we'll just now be listening.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they are listening.
Yeah. But for you guys that don't know, Trambak is over there in Calcutta standing on a street corner with a big sign that says, listen to Y Nada Más podcast, subscribe here. That's what I got him doing over there.
Yeah.
he just stands on the street corner with headphones. Tells everybody to listen. So yeah, man, but thanks a lot for
listen.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for helping us out, man. And thanks for your input today. So remember, guys, follow him. What's your ad on Twitter now? Because you always change.
I mean, I changed it. Yeah, it's at TRAMBAK23. It's Trambak23.
Trambak23.
That's it. I got a lot of followers there. I reached 800 followers today.
Nice.
Some pretty crazy stuff there. Yeah.
So you guys can follow Trambak on Twitter.
I mean, I get followed by Ray Hudson. I mean.
Oh, Ray Hudson.
Pretty cool guy. And I get followed by him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how,
but he just followed me. Like.
Maybe he likes
this guy? I mean, then I searched it up on. Maybe he likes my articles.
Maybe he wants you to help him commentate on the next. Maybe he'll go over there and commentate some cricket.
Yeah. We got a similar guy like Ray Hudson here.
Oh, yeah? Really?
His name is Harsha Bhugal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And what is he? For football? Bhugal, or?
He's from cricket.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Now there's this, you know, it's funny because speaking of cricket, before we go, speaking of cricket, I was looking at Netflix has this huge, like this documentary about cricket and how huge it is in India. Like, you know, it's like the massive. It's like the basically
yeah, it's massive.
Like
yeah.
The Premier League of like if you want to make
two cricket World Cups.
Yeah, like if you want to be in cricket and be like the best cricket player or be in the best cricket league, India's cricket league is it, right? That's kind of the Premier League of cricket.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, Indian Premier League.
Yeah. It's awesome, man. I mean, you know, so I'm going to take a look at it because I have known nothing about cricket. But since you're out there in India, I would love to know more about, you know, what's going on with the sports over there and everything. And I know, I mean, how's football over there? I mean, I know there is the Indian Super League still like a.
I mean, football is the Indian Super League is a recent one. I mean, yeah, mm-hmm. It just started off 5 years ago. I mean, mm-hmm. It's a good initiative to promote cricket here in India, promote football here in India, because football was a dying sport. I mean, people supported, but people didn't play a lot because of the injuries, you know, all that sort of things. But mm-hmm. It's growing now. Yeah, it's great to see football grow. But we haven't seen the Indian team perform very well in the qualifiers or the friendlies. But they're doing it.
Yeah.
That it's not that popular, but they're pushing harder.
Yeah.
And it's good.
Cool. No, it's cool. I mean, obviously it's India, very, very big country, a huge population. You know, it's huge. And I'm pretty sure, you know, they're doing a lot of things when it comes. I mean, they obviously I've seen it when it comes to football. I mean, a lot of the followers from Y Nada Más podcast in English are from India. It's the second country that second biggest listeners group of listeners is from India. So it's huge. Yeah. I mean,
everything is big here.
Yeah, it's big. It's like Texas here in the United States. Everything is bigger in Texas. So
yeah. If you see Managing Madrid, I mean, half of their followers are from India.
Yeah.
If you see Managing Madrid, I mean, they are also, they got some 50K followers in Twitter. I mean, 30K are from India.
Yeah. Well, I think what it is too, I
mean, everything is huge.
Yeah. And I think what it is too is the fact that, you know, if you're a Real Madrid follower and you speak English and English is your first language, you know, there aren't many podcasts or there wasn't many outlets because everything's covered obviously in Spanish, but with Managing Madrid, and that's kind of why I wanted to jump on and do Nada Más. And there's a couple of different podcasts that do Real Madrid stuff, but I think,
yeah, you were the second.
Yeah. So
the second.
So it's really like
after Managing Madrid.
Nice. We like that. But yeah, it's interesting to see because, you know, I honestly didn't know that. Like I said, I always knew that in India, the Premier League was followed. I didn't know it was that big for La Liga. And that's great because I'm pretty sure they don't follow it, you know, the media as much in Spanish. So to have an English outlet, it's easier for them to now get more information, you know, from guys like you that are writing about Real Madrid, Managing Madrid, the Real Champs, all these guys that are on Twitter now writing things about Real Madrid in English. It helps for the fans that don't speak Spanish to still feel connected to the team, you know, and that's important too. And it's awesome. And the fact that, you know, India has such a huge following for La Liga, you know, obviously because of the two teams having this big rivalry.
It's huge here. Yeah. Because of the two teams. I mean, they don't support or they know about Osasuna, teams like Osasuna, Elche. They only know the two teams that Real Madrid and Barcelona.
Yeah. Wait, so there's not an Elche fan club in India?
No, there's not. Yeah, but there's a Cadiz one. There's a Cadiz one.
Oh,
I don't know why, but
that's interesting.
3,000 people here support Cadiz. Yeah. So they went to open a fan club here, Cadiz.
Well, that's interesting. All right, man. Yeah. Well, I thank you for being on the show, buddy. And we'll talk again soon. Look out for his articles on inadamas.net, which is our website. Also, check out this podcast, of course. And if you want to follow Trombach, make sure you follow him at Trombach23 on Twitter. That's where you can catch him. And thanks again, man.
Thanks for the opportunity.
All right, everybody. So that was my good friend Trombach B, all the way from Calcutta, India. You know, it was late at night for him, obviously in the afternoon for me. So, you know, thanks to him for coming on the show. And, you know, we're going to invite him back every once in a while, definitely to kind of get different inputs and things like that. I love his banter. He loves to throw some jabs there at our rivals and make jokes about different things that have happened with a lot of the news coming out of Madrid and the different things that are happening with the team. So I thought that was cool to have him and kind of give his input. And you know what, man, I like it because it's a chance to give a young dude out of Calcutta, you know, he's writing some stuff. He's helping us out and he's definitely helping us out with the podcast. And just, you know, he's carrying the torch there for Real Madrid fans over there in India, well, in his neck of the woods, Calcutta, because India is obviously a huge country with many large cities. So he's doing his thing there. And, you know, it's just good to have him as part of the crew for here at Nada Más Podcast. And so you can always, as we had just mentioned, follow him at Trombach23 on Twitter. Also check him out on his Instagram. His Instagram is That Madrid Guy. So check him out on Instagram too. Follow him there. And with that said, also make sure you guys follow us on Instagram as well at Nada Más Podcast on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And, you know, also follow us on our website, which is inadamas.net. You can find a lot of Trombach's past articles there. He's going to be writing for us more often. And, you know, with that said, you know, he's one of our senior writers right now because he's been the one that's most active with us. But if you are interested in continuing to write for Y Nada Más Podcast, or wanting to write and start writing for Y Nada Más Podcast, give us a shout. You know, hit us up at info@ynadamas.net. That is our official email address. So once again, that's info@ynadamas.net. But if not, you can also contact us via the DMs on both Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook. Or not both, on all three, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You can catch us there. I'm mostly active on Twitter, so make sure, you know, you can chat me there. Chat me up there on Twitter. And that's about it. Also, if you are following us on Apple Podcasts, please leave a comment, leave a rating. Let us know how we're doing. I've gotten some pretty great comments from, you know, actually fans here in the United States that are Madridistas, and that we're looking for a podcast that they could listen to about Madrid. So it's great to hear from you guys, and I'm glad you're enjoying it. So thank you guys for chiming in. So if you guys are listening to us via Apple Podcasts, please just leave a quick rating. And if you want to leave a quick comment just saying, you know, great show, great podcast, whatever. Eric, you suck. Whatever you want to do, just put it on there and give us a rating, because the more comments and ratings we get, obviously that helps us rise up in the ranks within Apple, which is, you know, the largest podcasting library in the world, I think, at the moment. But in addition to that, also, we are on Stitcher. We are on Spotify. We are on TuneIn for a lot of the international listeners. I know a lot of people listen to TuneIn. We are also on iHeartRadio, the iHeartRadio app. So for you guys here in the United States, the iHeartRadio app also carries the show. And I think we're pretty much wherever podcasts are found. We're also on Google Podcasts. So you can find us anywhere, and we will be there. If there is some place that we are not, let me know. Contact us at info@ynadamas.net. Let us know where you want to listen to us. And also, if you can't listen to us on any of your smartphone apps or whatever, you can also go to info@ynadamas.net on our website and find all that content there. All our episodes are uploaded to the website. So that's pretty much it for now, guys. You know, thank you. Thank you once again for, you know, listening, for supporting. Thanks again to Strombach for being on the show today. And we are going to be back. You know, the next now is Crunch Time. You know, Crunch Time was the name of the last episode. But now really is crunch time. You know, we're getting, now that the international break is going to come to an end, and we are actually going to face Eibar this weekend. And that will be start beginning a run after Eibar, which hopefully we can beat, because we always tend to shit the bed, as they say, against smaller teams. Let's hope we get past them. And then obviously after that, it's going to be a very tough games. Very tough run of games with the Liverpool, followed by El Clásico, followed by Liverpool again. But, you know, there's a lot of positivity with the Real Madrid faithful. I think we have a strong team. I think our midfield is on fire. I think our defense is back where it needs to be. Carvajal is going to be coming back, hopefully for the Liverpool game and hopefully for El Clásico. So I think we're, you know, I think we're in a solid spot, and we are picking up where we need to, at the time that we need to. We have all the pieces of the puzzle that we need. So I'm really confident, and hopefully we'll have a lot of great podcasts for the next few as we make it through what is the end of the season, essentially. 10 games in La Liga are what is left, and then 5 games, if we do make it to the final of the Champions League, it will be 5 games total. But for now, it's 12 games left, because we have to face Liverpool and two legs, and the 10 remaining La Liga games. So that's it for now, guys. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for following the podcast. And we will talk to you again soon, next weekend, after we face Eibar. And that's it. Talk to you guys later.
This has been Y Nada Más, Al Real Madrid Podcast.